I'm Joanne Hope, and we're going to talk for a bit about stress. I think all of us live in a world of stress. The females are now joining the males in dying from heart diseases as we moved out into the world. That's our reward for deciding we want to be in the workplace, the same as the rest of the world. We are also following the same patterns of men in our culture by drinking ourselves to death, worrying ourselves to death, smoking ourselves to death, sitting ourselves to death, and all of the other kinds of difficulties that seem to occur. So what I thought we'd do today is talk a little bit about stress, but mostly about ways of alleviating stress through our lifestyle. But to get some kind of idea of where we sort of all are, how many of you have heard this guilt trip before from me? Anybody? Okay. I'm hoping to put you on a guilt trip, unless you are perfectly into the routines of the world. But more than that, guilt is one of the worst things that brings us stress. So I hope also that you can go away with a feeling of some kind of program that one can take in the various problems that we all seem to deal with. How many of you exercise three times a week, 20 minutes at least? That's usually what I get here, those who don't need me. But but you can take some facts to your friends maybe in the total approach. What I thought I'd talk about a little bit is both objective and subjective kinds of problems dealing with fitness and stress. And within quality of life, I'm sure you can't read my writing, but I put it here anyway just for my own crib sheet, sort of. We're going to talk about aerobic fitness, which is really the whole cardiovascular system. And that's where stress starts and ends, in terms of our heart attacks, the strokes that occur, hypertension, high blood pressure, all of the associated heart diseases. We're also now finding that perhaps cancer has a stress base. That is, genetically, we may be predisposed to cancer, as many of us know. And the same to heart attacks and strokes. But that we can practice preventative medicine, perhaps, and without stress, the predestined sort of idea is not a reality. And so that perhaps even cancer we can put into the stress category. And so one of the easiest ways of alleviating stress, besides horizontal, which will always help, just plain relaxing horizontally and muscles relaxing is really one of your best methods. The 10-minute nap in the afternoon is not a fallacious idea. It really is helpful to all of us. Now, many of us can't do that, but many more can in sort of a milder form. And that is one of perhaps the most helpful. And you might like that as one of our solutions to stress. But we are finding so many problems with stress that aerobic fitness, or the ability to take in, transport, utilize oxygen, is what really puts us into a possibility for this total fitness quality of life routine. The second area, which is of objective, is the whole muscular fitness. And that, of course, is my profession. That is, I work for developing not only cardiovascular efficiency for individuals, but strength, endurance, flexibility, coordination, agility. All things that have been denied women in the past. And so we are living presently, those of you over 35, unless you were lucky enough to be farmers and farmers' wives, most of you did not have the quality of life that made you fit 50 and over. So you have to work a little harder than do the men who have, by childhood, enjoyed sport. If there's anything we're finding about the difficulty of not permitting girls to play and be as vigorous as boys in the past, is our bone marrow, our brittle bones, it is the female that is breaking her hip. The male takes the same fall at 65 and does not break the hip as frequently. And as they're doing studies, they're finding that women who were not physically active as children, if one can think back of their lives, are breaking their hips, for example, more often. And so it does mean, of course, you need to be more careful, because you can't go back and relive your lives. You can help your grandkids, however, and your own kids live their lives in a more vigorous manner, which will alleviate a lot of our problems. Women, you also can take calcium, iron, and potassium as sort of substitutes for what we missed. But we're finding muscular fitness is terribly significant for a lifestyle. But fortunately, that you can start after 60, after 70, in your midlife, exercising with caution. And so we don't have to have missed everything along the way. You also can learn sports. There's a lot of studies that are being done on senior citizens learning sport, and learning it as 9 through 12 year olds learned it best, which is imitation. That it is the very best way. If somebody demonstrates it, and you do it. Now, if you're left-handed and they're right-handed, switch yourselves around. But that it can occur. And that it takes more patience for you to learn sport activities, but that you, in fact, can learn it. And so I think that's important to consider in our muscular fitness. Weight control through fitness. If you live in a glass house, you can't throw stones. And I live in this fat glass house right now, and I'll throw a few stones. But we really know that what you eat is what you are. And there's all kinds of other psychological happenings, but the fact is what you eat is what you are. But if you really love to eat as much as I do, then fitness through the aerobic and muscular fitness can help you. So if you need to eat and love it, you need to exercise. It's really as simple as that. That your input of food is more than your output of energy is going to be the result. And after 40, both males and females have to be more careful because of your metabolism rate in terms of your eating habits and your exercise, so that there is a direct relationship. A female, it won't help you to know, except for your guilt trips, I guess, that you will generally gain weight faster and more, particularly after the end of the menstrual cycle, than will the male. So that you are always in more difficulty than is the male in terms of weight control. Actually, for females, because we're 25% fat, even without trying, and males are more near 12% fat, females really always have that trouble. That's also why males are far superior in anything that takes strength and power, that they will be and are better, both on the average and ultimately. And it has partly to do with the fat and the hormones, of course. The fourth area of health and fitness is the importance of both of them working together, talking about psychological health as well as fitness. Exercising by itself does not make you a stable human being. I don't care what the commentators are telling you, that fitness, physical fitness, will make you a well-adjusted person. It simply won't. It merely is one of the contributors to your total life. So if I am in a spiritual vacuum, but I am physically fit, it doesn't mean that I am going to be a total person with quality of life, necessarily. And I think our exercise people try to tell you that. You know, all you really need is a little exercise. You don't have to go through grief. You don't have to worry about your kids staying out all night. All you do is exercise. And of course, that isn't true. All we can do is be an aid and help in the quality for this health. Then the lifestyle and fitness is my whole belief that it's sort of work, play, and sport together that puts us into a category and a possibility to have a quality of life. And that lifestyle starts when you're young. And that's why, particularly for women, it's not as natural a happening that your lifestyle now includes play, sport, games. There simply wasn't 8 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep, and 8 hours of play for you. Your whole lives have been structured more with your play time is limited, in a sense. Your leisure time has been limited. Your skill development has been limited. So it really becomes much more important for you to get a behavior change of play, sport, games, even of exercise. While males automatically, through our culture, have been told you must exercise, even if it's to, what did he say last night, make a score. You know, everything is scoring for the male in our society from the past. And so much of his life and your lives have been spent in scoring as opposed to a lifestyle of play. And so you sometimes have to deal with stress by your desire to be competitive and to keep score. And women have not as frequently until now been placed in that same sort of happening. So you have to kind of attack it a little more vigorously. And remember that behavior in at least activity changes attitudes. And so you have to do the behavior of exercise. Thinking about exercise somehow or other simply doesn't do it, as you know. If you wish you had exercised, it doesn't seem to help the body. There has to be the reality of the doing of it. But the same thing is true in stress. You cannot say to your mind, stop it, you're stressing me. So you have to figure out ways. And I thought what we might do for a few minutes is think of all the ways you people have of diverting your stress that seem to work, that really seem to have a positive effect, and it took you a little time to figure out how to do that. And it doesn't have to be in a physical activity. You may have some other ways of diverting stress. Testimonials here. Okay. Swimming as a just an enjoyable kind of activity. And that is something, by the way, any of you can learn. And there are many, many more swimming opportunities. And it can be in a play sense, it can be in a safety sense. And swimming, remember, is one of your aerobic fitness. Probably next to running, swimming is a number one. And it's something that many of you have access to a great deal of the time. One of the values of swimming, you'll find, is that you can feel tension occurring. And as you lie on your backs, and particularly women, you should have no trouble with the floating if you can really relax. Now, if you can't relax, you're going down to the bottom with the rest of them. But it's a process of learning how to relax. The holding in your breath if you have to until you feel your feet sort of floating up. It's a wonderful feeling if you've never really floated. But this is where you learn relaxation. All of you might try this sometime if you're not great swimmers. If you're great swimmers, you just automatically relax in the water. But if you aren't, your muscles, it's great for your abdomen and for that relaxation. What it really does is tighten your muscles, all of you, an arm, for example. And you can just feel that and then let go. That's what you really want. And swimming is one of the ways most people can get it. What happens, however, if I'm scared? Yeah, tense up. So don't expect that a miracle is going to happen when you try to float. That it's a process, and it's getting confidence in one person that's teaching you, and that's really important in swimming, is that you gain the confidence of whoever is teaching you if you're just learning. If you have kids, remember how important in swimming that is, that they have the confidence of the teacher, besides that they can dunk their heads. I mean, you know, we got to get our hair wet in it. What are some other ways of dealing with stress? Walking is my number one plea for those of us over 45, even more than jogging. Because we're finding, particularly for women, some real problems with the hip joints, with the knee joints, and with the ankles with jogging. So if you have never done very much physical activity before, particularly women, I would caution you on going into a full-fledged jogging program. Again, no matter what the books say, because we're just now have enough joggers to know some of the difficulties. Some men are experiencing the same problems, but not as much, because their bone marrow is better if they've exercised all their lives. Now, if they played football, of course, they have knee problems and they're going to walk instead of jog. But walking is something all of you can begin to do. And if you do nothing else but walk, 3 miles of walking every other day or 1 mile a day is one of the best ways of dealing with your stress. And one of the things you can do when you walk is think if you want to. It doesn't interfere with your stress to go ahead and think. People talk about getting your mind blank. You don't have to. You can, but you don't have to in the process. And anywhere from 3 blocks if you're in the city to start with. That's all you need as a starter. And then as you come home, whatever you decide you're going and back, speed it up a tiny bit at the end. Walk a little faster at the end. Be sure, however, if you've had a heart attack or high blood pressure, that you do check with your doctor. But one of the aerobic fitness really is that you've got to get your heart rate up. And in walking, you can do that best without injury to any of your muscles or any of the stretching problems that occur in the muscular fitness part by starting slow and then at the end of it, increasing it. Actually, marathon runners do the same thing, is that the increase is at the end, never at the beginning of their runs. And so try to get your heart rate up to 120, 140, 150. For well, those of you under 40, you can get your heart rate up to 160 and then get it back down again. Almost if you've exercised before without a physician to start with. But certainly if you're over 40 and you want to bring your heart rate up, you do need to check in with your doctor. For those of you who are real athletes, by the way, I would suggest the sport medicine men for your kinds, so that you can get a stress test with it. Sports medicine are really physicians who are in love with sport. And now they have an excuse to build a whole department of it in the hospitals and everywhere. And they really are also knowledgeable about injuries. And remember, any time you start activity, there's going to be the chance of injury. All injuries mean something. Don't decide if you do overdo and you get a sprained ankle, you get anything wrong with you that you can take care of it yourself. Have that checked out. But always, cold will do it no harm the first 3 hours of whatever you have. And so ice is good. Also, for you real athletes around, remember the new procedure on almost everything is a combination of heat and ice, and that you can't ice it. Sore muscles, those of you that are walking, and you've walked a mile or 2 miles, but you took this little Heart Lake tour or Holden Lake, your muscles are going to get sore. That is not a serious happening. A jacuzzi, and if it is too sore, icing in the sauna afterwards is not bad for it. But all you've done is collected lactic acid. Because your aerobic fitness was not, and your muscular fitness was not in tune with what you decided to do. Those of you who are new and haven't tried it yet, I have a solution for you that will not bring soreness as readily, and that is the story of the turtle and the that I can get all of you up to heart almost without raising your heartbeat if need be by a slow, easy, and what I call a hitch kick. You are in no hurry. If you are, don't go, because it is going to injure. But if you've walked and exercised, it will not be harmful. But if you are walking, how many of you haven't done the hiking yet and will be? Okay, for you people, remember the heat is unusual here for now. And that large quantities of water is your solution, not, and I repeat,
not salt pills. We are finding, and for you athletes, that salt pills are very difficult to digest. It keeps large quantities of salt in the stomach, and that you need a gallon of water for every salt pill. And so you might as well take the gallon of water, take the salt shaker, and save a lot of problems. But heat also is a problem because we have a little humidity. So you also need to be careful of that, both here and, of course, and wherever you are. But I think walking is probably our best solution for how to start in getting rid of stress. And you can get mad at somebody, walk a little faster, or be happy with what you going on in your head, and you walk a little slower. I can follow the group. I walk 3.5 miles every day and go around a lake twice. And I can just about see whether they're in trouble, or it's that they have to walk this, or that they're just really sort of walking after I've been walking. I've been doing this now about 4 months. And I can just about tell whether they're solving a problem, creating a problem, or resolving something in the walk. And so walking will do none of you really a great deal of harm. How else do you deal with stress? Okay, jogging. Those of you that have the quality to be able to jog, we're finding that the highs from jogging are a lot better than any dope that one takes. Some are afraid dope is going to be a result of the highs, but that jogging is a new happening, and with a perfectly healthy body, it is the quickest way to aerobic and muscular fitness. Muscular fitness if you use your arms in the whole action, and of course aerobic fitness because of the cardiovascular. But that is a very slow start if you haven't been doing it, and then working it up. We're finding for our total fitness or capacities, we probably don't need more than 3 miles a day. Everything else is gravy for those that like it and who really get their thrills from it. One of the things we're learning about jogging that is great for our society is that it doesn't have to be competitive. It's the first time we've had a lot, particularly of men, in an activity in which they didn't have to keep score. And that takes away from the tension, because always, even in competitive sports, when I play volleyball out here, there's a certain score thought or tension. So you're adding, in some ways, to stress or tension. But what you're doing is being able to concentrate for a short time on sort of a nothing. But many, many men and women are solving their problems on the jogging trails. And so certainly jogging is one of the probably newest. We're not sure if it's the best. And certainly in the sense of women or men who have been sedentary for a long time. When you get some leg and feet problems, look into it. We're finding that a whole bunch of us arches are wrong for jogging, but that they can put some inner soles in to create the right action, particularly for knees. Those of you with knee problems, the sports medicine people are also finding that by putting the correct inner sole, that you rotate right and it will protect your knee as well. What else?
How about dancing?
Aerobic dancing?
Dancing.
Plain everyday dancing. Folk dancing used to be the only really well-rounded activity for a lot of women. At one time in the 50s even, if anybody was fit, they were jitterbugging, given my age. Or maybe they might have been, what's that thing? You have the twist,
swing,
all of these sorts of, even the some forms of the foxtrot and all but the waltz, the polka, all of these were probably one of the few ways women from colonial America on were fit at all,
square
was
dancing.
From their dance. And the square dance, there's a big movement in some of the eastern cities to bring back square dancing.
Western too.
In looking at the West, the value of that is it really is a lifestyle of play. And you don't have to think about, now, am I eating up my calories? Am I using up my calories in this? You don't really think about the fitness that results. But we've tested some young women from that are in their 50s to 70s who were folk dancers and square dancers, you know, sort of all their lives. And their vital lung capacities are equal to master women swimmers, who are the women over 60, and women field hockey players. If you know anything about field hockey, women have been playing field hockey competitively, really, for years. And their vital lung capacities are good. We have a woman in our profession, three of them, in fact, over 100. All three of them have fallen, and none of the three have broken their hips. And they all were vigorously active. Now, obviously, small sample, but they're doing some larger samples. So if you danced as young women, I mean really danced, you know, not just in each other's arms, but really danced. Well, that's what they told me when I went to teach at St. Olaf, that, no, Concordia College, we can't dance because of the chemistry that occurs on the dance floor. 1957. Of course, what they did in cars. But we don't have dances. But what we did learn at Concordia was I could call it folk games, and we had them, you know, by the tons. So probably they got more exercise, really, up there. But certainly dancing is not something to be sneezed at, nor the new aerobic dancers. But hey, be careful on that. The aerobic dancing is vigorous. If you can aerobic dance for 20 minutes straight, you can go up holding just with your eyes closed almost. You'll find, how many of you are doing, any of you doing aerobic dance? Some of you younger people particularly ought to really get into it. It's a fun kind of activity. Men at our school are taking it as sort of, some of our football players are in aerobic dance. They get different kind of credits, and so they take it maybe for the credits. But it is a very vigorous kind of activity. And what I'm really for in the long run is fun. Exercise that's fun. If you do it only for fitness, you know, that's really a tough order. That's almost like being a monk. And of course, that's why Richard Simmons is rich, because you flip him on, and it's sort of like you're all doing it together. Isn't that who that guy is?
Yeah,
yeah, he was at Oregon last week, and I went to one of his sessions. Well, he was there, though. He didn't give the big performance, and I don't know how many was there, but he was in the hotel for like half the day, and about five of us chatted with him briefly, before we knew that he wasn't going to go on. Yeah, I know. This guy was supposed to give a program at where I was at a pre-scientific congress, and I didn't know why it was, but they just announced that. Yeah, he wasn't there. But in our discussion, was just asking him about his program that he had developed. But he was not in good company because we were not impressed. I mean, the whole conference—it's like having a preacher. A lay preacher come in and tell you how to preach to preachers in the program. And you have to be careful, those of you who watch exercise programs, by the way, be careful of any exercise they give you for the back in which you raise your legs at all. Be careful of anything that they have that pull on your knees, and particularly those of you that have been very active, the duck walk kind of activity, the leg raising, both of them, and lowering them. You can feel this lumbar lordosis that most women have, and men some. Remember, our strength is not in our abdomens, which you need for these kinds of exercises. Our strengths are in our legs, by the way, for women particularly. Your strength, best and most useful strength, is in your legs.
And that disappears first.
I don't.
The arms, before the arms.
Could be, because the arms already weren't as strong. So it would, also the problem is the circulatory system in the legs, which make the muscles not receive the oxygen, so that the difficulty with the movement patterns will be the legs, much more than the arms, where the circulation, I mean, even talking with them keeps them moving. And so it is the legs, and that's why there's more having them up than down and trying to get the circulation going, because those are the veins and the arteries that have some difficulty. What else can we do?
Can I go back a minute?
Oh,
you stated you shouldn't do an exercise that lifts your legs up.
By itself.
No,
like this one, where I'm here. See how this is? With my...
The big arch?
Yeah, the big arch. So it would be like one leg
unless you're terribly, terribly strong. Particularly for women, it's just a terrible exercise for women.
You can do it with one leg. But
yeah, one leg. Anything that keeps this down. And that one already, if you hold your abdomen in, that will do it anyway. While I'm here, sit-ups too. Be careful of your sit-ups. So you don't take them this way and go all the way this way. Because remember, our backs, the stretch in our backs is already a problem. Never go beyond the straight line of your body for sit-ups. And curl up rather than going to your toes. Now, you have to do that if you're going to be in gymnastics, but most of us aren't. You know, we're going to spend our lives in gymnastics, sort of. What else?
What about the saying that I heard that golfing is like playing a game of finance? Surely, I feel a great deal of exercise.
That simply isn't true. We've done some monitoring on, as long as you don't use the cart.
Yeah.
It's the same amount. If it's a mile and a half course, you've used up a mile and a half worth of exercise. What you haven't gotten is a lot of aerobic fitness. Now, after the ninth hole, if the tenth one starts far away, vigorously walk it. Or if it has any heel, vigorously move in it. The problem is what they're saying is that aerobic fitness, but muscular fitness, it does and is helpful. It is also helpful for arthritis, the kind in which movement is good, because it gives you the full range of movement. So it simply isn't true. It is a good activity if you have the patience. My problem is I get stressed from golf because what do we have? That's what I said. For me, it creates stress. But when the game is over, it's a different stress than the stress of I haven't gotten my article written.
The way I do it is very humorous. There's no stress.
The way I do it, it's humorous to everybody else. I can't believe that little tiny toy isn't going to go where I want it to. I mean, it's an incredibly frustrating activity for me, golf. But what it does is take my mind away from everything else, and that's kind of one of its purposes is diversion. And it does divert my attention from the problems of the world out there. And that's really, as I see it, one of the purposes of leisure of any kind, even if it has some stress in it. Even if I'm keeping score with the boss. The problem on tennis on keeping score with the boss is it's a male boss and he doesn't like to get beat, so I'm so busy keeping score for how we can even up this score here and survive. Hope he doesn't hear this little tape. What else?
Can you comment on yoga?
Yeah, I can comment on it. Remember its original purpose, which was to cause pain to the body in order to meditate with the greater being. So the positions that are taken in yoga have a possibility for going beyond the normal range of movement within flexibility. So if you're going to do it, care must be taken that most of your time is spent in preparation for the yoga, the activity itself, because the positions are not natural positions of the body. And so the possibility of injury is large within the whole yoga programs. Now within the meditation process and development of flexibility can be developed fastest of all of the muscular fitness, strength and endurance. Flexibility comes fastest and goes quickest. And that's important for you to remember. That you could reach your toes last week or 6 weeks ago does not mean that you can do it today. And every time you go beyond your normal range of movement in flexibility, you're asking for the possibility of a strain or a pain. So I have difficulty with yoga unless it is also those that have really studied the body mechanics of the body.
I don't want to seem very stupid to me,
but I know that we had some experts up here on it, but I have a great deal of difficulty with it, and our sports medicine men and women are having more trouble with the action. But one of the things it does do is relax. It has the potential for relaxation. Someone want to
you speak about reaching toward your toes. What is your opinion on an exercise where you just go limp, like you're reaching for your toes? You don't force your body. You just relax and let the blood flow to your head for maybe 45 seconds or whatever. Is that bad for the body?
No. Any form of relaxation, as long as it is not cardio, it's not difficult for hypertension. It actually, any way that you can find to relax the body and therefore you're not pushing it into anything has great deal of potential. Actually, they used to use standing on your head, you know, as filling up the brain waves and sending them. And it wasn't all fallacious in a sense, because it does offer the power of relaxation. And that's really what you're always trying to do. Great athletes are continuously trying to find ways that they can relax their bodies as well as their heads, and not going beyond. Although there has to be some stretch, remember, if you're ever going to get more flexible than you are, you have to go beyond where you are. But be sure it's important to do that. That there's some good reason why you want to be able to stick your hands under your feet as you're going down. I mean, there needs to be some good reason. And particularly after 21, there needs to be some good reason. Unless you've been really very active all along. But remember, you can gain flexibility. But flexibility is specific to the parts. So if I want a flexible action here, it's not going to help me to flex this. Specificity is important in all of the muscular fitness. If I want strength of my right arm, I need to do work for my right arm. Now, you do know, if any of you have broken your legs or whatever, that there is something called bilateral transfer. We don't know exactly how it works. That if I keep exercising my right arm and my left's in a cast, that it helps in some of the atrophy. And we don't know how that bilateral transfer occurs. There is some of it. But basically, you strengthen the body parts you want to use for whatever the activity. How else?
Self-hypnosis.
Okay, self-hypnosis is a very interesting phenomena that physical educators do not deal with very much. We have about 5 people who have gone Eastern and have gone to study the various forms of self-hypnosis, which is really what happens in the Eastern movement. We know very little about it, so I really don't know what it can do. But we do know that psychologically we can do a whole lot of positive things, and that some forms of self-hypnosis are really great powers of concentration that one has. And if one is able to do that, that's really what you do when you say to your body, relax. It's the beginning of that. I don't understand beyond the beginning of being able to tell your body to relax, and it can. Telling your mind, don't count, don't pick on your kid from what you're going to say tomorrow morning from last night if you're still going to be able to sleep. But there is something to that. Anybody else know anything about the whole Eastern kind of movement? They're really trying to deal with what self-hypnosis can do.
All I know is that a woman that I worked with this summer was really into that hypnosis, and she and her husband had been to some sessions for executives in large companies on alleviating stress. And they had been taught this form of self-hypnosis that supposedly, if they did it for 5 minutes, it was equal to like half an hour of sleep or something like that. And I don't know exactly how it worked, but she said it was something that you could go bring yourself into and out of very easily and just feel like you had a nice nap.
I think it has a great deal of potential. And I think that companies are certainly looking for that. That's one of the other things I wanted to mention, was how important getting rid of stress must be at the marketplace. Because corporate fitness is the number one financial investments at the moment within the whole sport. That large corporations are willing to put in gymnasiums, tracks, activity fields, spend a great deal of money on stress testing, and to be sure that their junior executives make it to senior executives. Is the idea. And that, in fact, it is working. And corporate fitness, as you know, or corporations, do not spend money frivolously. So obviously, they both see the efficiency of it And that's part of this work lifestyle and fitness, I think, that occurs. That your work capacity is enhanced by your physical fitness and your ability. Now, it's not going to enhance it completely because you still have your whole mental, spiritual beings that have to work for totality. But they certainly are finding that if they give stress tests and they're willing to pay for exercise programs, for sports programs, that it not only is for social reasons. Early in industrialization, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, where they used softball leagues, baseball leagues, and those kinds of things, those were really for social purposes, to bring the blue-collar workers together. But this effort is much more stringent and required. And they're doing some of this sort of self-hypnosis, or at least self-understanding, which brings the capacity to relax. And certainly that's one of the moves that, that people are towards.
Could you comment on the need for preparation for an activity such as tennis?
The older you are, for every 10 years of your life, one should add 2 to 3 minutes of after 40 of stretching exercises, shoulder exercises. What they're finding is an awful lot of shoulder damage, and they think it's the serve in tennis, for example, and that if you would do 2 or 3 minutes of exercise beforehand. Also, in all activities now, they're really trying to get you to stretch those and the tendon of your Achilles and then the down here for an awful lot of, like, our tennis activities that move. And they're finding if you warm up the muscle, that we're going as far as 70% less chance of injury. And that's for the people over 50. As opposed to younger. Remember, we didn't know for many years. We paid no attention to us, those of us 50 and above, on what ought to happen. We just assumed you're going to quit playing. And the fact is, you can keep moving, and that one adjusts their activity to their ability level. But it's terribly, terribly important, because flexibility goes so quickly. And also for warming up the body. The heart attack victims that start running fast, they're the ones that they're also having trouble with, that they run their speed first instead of at the end of the run, that it should be at the end of the run, so that it becomes more and more important that you do warm up for whatever activity you're going to do. Even jogging, by the way, you should do some stretches. Stretching is your very best way, some forms of starting mild stretching. Unless you're perfectly willing to play one set of tennis without score, then perhaps that's not significant. But I find I can't play without score in my competitive being. I'm a very competitive individual, and it becomes very stressful to just hack around. One of the things is I decided after 40 I was going to play, period, and that I wasn't going to practice anything anymore. I was just going to play. Any other?
Speaking of tennis and even pitching for baseball, it's really against the natural pull or movement of our muscles.
Right.
I mean, even the serve is really against the natural movement.
I think that's true, and that's one of the reasons you need to be careful of your children with Little League in baseball. There is all kinds of evidence of what is happening to young boys and now girls who are overhand pitching in that 9 through 12 year old category, because it is not a natural kind of movement that is occurring, and you need to be very careful with it. Also, if you play any sports, by the way, and you get anything like tennis elbow, knees, or whatever, icing is the number one preventative for the next time, that you can continue to play with icing after competition, or after you play, or after you run, or whatever. It used to be heat after the first 24 hours, and they're finding that that is not the solution. The heat does help in terms of lactic acid buildup, but for the swelling, it is the ice that's helpful. And the shoulder is very vulnerable, by the way. And it's particularly vulnerable for women, because our strength is at least, on the average, 50% less than the male in the arm and shoulder girdle. And some of that has to do with our build, but a great deal of it is not learning to throw as young girls. That young girls, if they learn to throw by themselves, that they did not imitate their fathers some way, as one would suspect, as little boys automatically did. And so that their throwing arm is here, which pulls in here, as opposed to the normal male throwing arm. While little girls who learned by chance from brothers or sisters, I mean brothers or fathers or whatever, uncles, then do not have that same arm and shoulder girdle problem that we find in the bursitis, the arthritis, and the activities. Unfortunately for most of us here, a lot of what we're learning, you've got to do it all along, starting young, or else you do have to do some suffering. And that sport with an aspirin, however, the sports medicine men say is not bad, as long as you don't overstretch, overdo, and that the aspirin prevents telling you that it hurts. It's that whole dope problem that can occur. And obviously, we're also learning from doctors that an aspirin a day is going to keep the heart attack away, maybe. And so it is not a wrong move in terms of then being able to exercise. Somebody, yeah.
Where we live, it rains all winter and the wind blows all summer. And so I've been looking for something I can do indoors. What do you think of these rowing machines and stationary bicycles?
I think all of them are good. All of them that you can get in aerobic fitness. And for a lot of young women who are at home with their children, you don't get enough activity just from chasing your kid. You really don't, in terms of activity, unless you have a terribly big house that you're chasing them, you know, up and down all the time. But they're really very good, and they're doing all kinds of studies on the bicycle and getting the different pressures on the bicycle, that the bicycle is very good. For women, because of our arm and shoulder girdle, the rowing, they have some new rowing ones. Almost any of these are helpful, in spite of the fact they're commercialized. But you can get a good exercise program for $120, and it's worth every penny of it for the inside kinds of activities. And then music with it, by the way, is really helpful. You can watch the news with the bicycle. But some of the universal gyms that they have are good. What we're finding, and I recommended it, by the way, about 3 years ago, were these little tramps. Forget it. They're finding all kinds of problems for the senior citizen, that there's something in our balance that changes, and that maybe the glasses and the trifocals and bifocals that are affecting them, but there's just been too many injuries on these little tramps that people have bought. So I now say it is not a good kind of happening that one should have. Any other questions or comments before I sort of give a summary of, yeah?
Could you comment on Jim Hicks's death? I thought the press coverage of it was really poor. The question that left in my mind was, if he'd been running for almost 20 years, quite seriously, if he'd had a partial blockage, wouldn't it have cleared with the running?
Not necessarily. I was asking somebody about that, and I really don't think I can comment on it's just a terrible psychological happening for those of us in physical education and in activity. And until some of our physiologists, along with our biomechanics people, try to deal with it. It was the death of the writer of the book,
The Joy of Running,
Plouffe. I guess he died with his boots on, but no, there's still some blockage problems that can occur. There's also, they were trying to deal with aneurysms, but at the last reading of it, it really wasn't. We had a gentleman that was our outstanding scholar, researcher, a man named Charles McCloy, who died taking a stress test. About when the stress testing first started, and it was a blockage that had occurred. So there is risk in activity, but we are certainly finding more and more the extension of life through fitness and through activity. And so that we can at least say with certainty that the quality of life for more than the majority of the individuals in our society are enhanced by movement, play, and sport. The effect of stress on that and the separate tensions, I think, is a whole nother issue of having died at 50, they may have at 40. And certainly those of you that have been heart victims and then, or your family, have then begun an exercise program, know the feeling, if nothing else, of what movement can do. Remember that your grandfathers and forefathers and mothers exercised continuously on the farms, and that that's what we really were made for, organic action, and that our technological society has inhibited that action. And I don't want to go back to washing clothes down at the brook, but instead I want to use that to play and to use my body in an enjoyable kind of experience. And I think that's what Western society has given us, is that opportunity. But sometimes we have to change our behavior to force action because our attitude really hasn't been how important it is. Because our Puritan tradition still brings with it the luggage of play for play's sake. But in reality, we're not doing just play for play's sake. Although I'm perfectly willing for that, by the way. I'm perfectly willing for us to be frivolous and frolicking. It's my profession. But in addition, when you get something in addition to that, it's sort of like a bonus, and that fitness is some kind of a bonus to us all. So I think as you think about it, if we haven't done anything else today except to think about ways of exercising, that artificial ways will work. There's no question. All of the inside kinds of activities will work and enhance your fitness. It does not help your joy of living, perhaps, except as it makes you feel better, which takes stress away. Anytime you feel happy, I dare say you don't feel stressed. And that's sort of one of the objectives. But that we have to do the aerobic, the muscular, the weight control, I talked a lot about last time, and so I thought I wouldn't deal with it as much. But you do always need to remember that pushing away from the table is probably the number one priority. And number two is a balanced program of exercise and control of your eating habits in order to deal with weight control. And that overweight and obesity is one of the best invitations to a fast death. And a death much sooner than is essential for the human body. Our bodies were made for movement, not for storing fat. That is all.